Invite you to take out your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read from verses 22 through 29. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. And not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we await eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for these saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for those for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. I want to make a confession to you this morning. It is time to confess. It's a little embarrassing. And the confession is a mess that has grown over time in my life. And you know how messes, they, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there, and after a while, it really starts to be an embarrassing thing. And when I stand back and look at it, sometimes I'm not quite sure how it's going to get straightened out. Maybe you know a little bit about this mess, because it's not completely an uncommon problem. The mess is my garage. It's a bad problem. Maybe it's due to collecting tools. Maybe it's because I have five kids and a lot of bikes. Maybe it's because my college-age kids have a bunch of junk that is not with them at school. It's in my garage. But my garage, at any moment in time, is somewhere between a complete embarrassment and a OSHA case study. I mean, it's just, yeah. When I open that door to the garage, I have one reaction, and it's a groan, because that's what we do with messes in life. We groan at them. Physical messes, moral messes, life messes, we groan. Chapter 8 of Romans talks about this groaning. It says that we groan and that all creation groans because creation, we included, have been subjected to frustration. Living in a world where things run down and break down and fall apart. But it's not just that we groan. Romans chapter 8 also says that the Holy Spirit groans as well. Except the Holy Spirit is groaning in prayer for us. Now, the blessing of a mess is that it keeps us dependent on God. Not the messy garage, but the physical messes and the moral messes, the spiritual messes, the family messes, the career messes. Those messes keep us dependent on God, and we know it. And that could be true of our prayer life as well, because as we've been talking about prayer throughout Lent, as we've been, maybe you've been watching the daily prayer videos and been engaging in prayer during Lent, as you've thought about prayer, practiced prayer, you may have thought, well, this is kind of a mess. My prayer life, it's kind of a mess. I'm going through the motions. I'm praying for things. I don't know if anything's happening. I can't tell if God's listening or not. I don't know if I'm any good at this prayer stuff. You know, my mind wanders here and there. I'm praying to God, and you know, I'm asking for this, and all of a sudden my mind is wandering to the book that I'm reading or the movie that I just watched. So sometimes our prayer life can seem like a mess. And here's the deal. You are dependent on God for every spiritual blessing that you have. Every part of your spiritual life with God, you depend on Him. God must work first. God must do the heavy lifting first. For your salvation, God must do the heavy lifting first. He must put that spark in your spirit, in your soul, that makes you hunger for God. God must work first in your ability to love. The Bible says that this is love, not that we first loved God, but that God first loved us. So God has to do the heavy lifting with us loving Him, for us forgiving others. God has to work first. We are able to forgive because we've been forgiven by God. And the same is true with prayer. That's what we're going to talk about today, that God does the heavy lifting of our prayer life as well. So I'm going to state up front what our main point today is, and it's this. God does the work of prayer in us, the heavy lifting, through His Spirit and through His Word. If you feel like, I'm no good at prayer, this is just a big mess, have hope today, because God does the heavy lifting of your prayer life. God, now, even though God does the heavy lifting of our prayer life, God does want to include us in the activity of prayer, even if sometimes our prayers, they're just groans, or just, oh, I'm just going through this mess, Lord, and just like the garage, and there's a groan. And sometimes that's all that you can get out in prayer. Maybe you've experienced that. Sometimes it seems like groaning is all you can do. And I don't know how to get out of this mess, Lord. There's a psalm, Psalm 40, which we're actually going to look at a little bit later in the sermon. But Psalm 40 begins with a mess. Verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me. He heard my cry. And sometimes that's all we can do is just let out this cry. That word cry, it's not like a, you know, tearing up cry. It's this, you know, from your belly crying out. Ah! It's not well articulated. It's just a shout. It's a help, help. Next verse. God lifted me up out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. And let me ask you, how do you get out of a slimy pit where everything that you just try to grab onto, it's mud. It just slips out from your hands. You keep, you know, clawing at stuff. You can't get anywhere. How do you get out of a slimy pit? You don't know. I don't know how to get out of a slimy pit, but God knows how to get you out of a slimy pit. So we groan in prayer, but the promise is that the Holy Spirit is interceding for us in prayer to get us out of that pit. Sometimes when you cry out to God, and I know that, I trust this has happened to you, because I think it's a normal experience. Sometimes when you pray out to God, there seems to be silence on the other end. You could be thinking, God, are you even listening to my prayer? All we hear is our voice. Listen, the Holy Spirit prays for you. C.S. Lewis suggests that the silence that we hear in prayer is not because God is ignoring your prayer. He suggests that the silence is because the Holy Spirit is praying for you exactly what needs to be prayed. God is praying for you, in other words, and therefore a response is not needed from God to His own prayer for you. Now, is that true? Is that why there's sometimes just silence on the other end, as C.S. Lewis suggests it? Maybe. I don't know. Could be true, but what certainly is true is that when we are weak, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid. When you feel weak in prayer, the Holy Spirit is praying for you. So if you want to become more aware of the Holy Spirit's intervention in your life, become aware of your weakness. Become aware of just where you want to groan out to God. Don't be frustrated when you feel like you are no good praying because the Holy Spirit is praying for you. So God does the hard work of prayer for you. You groan, Holy Spirit groans as well. You might be thinking, okay, does the Holy Spirit really groan because I groan because I don't know what to pray for? I groan because I'm going through this mess. Does the Holy Spirit really groan? Well, that's what the Scripture says. And I think that Paul is using the same word, we groan, the Holy Spirit groans, to indicate that the Holy Spirit is not praying incidental, unimportant things for us, not these small little things for us. No, the Holy Spirit sees the mess that we're in. The Holy Spirit lifts up the garage door, peers in, says, that's a mess, and I'm praying for that. The Holy Spirit isn't upset at you. He knows exactly what to pray for you. So what is the Holy Spirit praying for you? Well, the Holy Spirit is praying this. The Holy Spirit prays exactly what is needed so that we will grow in Christ-likeness. God is going to shape us into Christ's image. Look at verse 29 in our scripture. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. If you are a Christian, if you have put your faith in Christ, that means that God foreknew you from the beginning of time, from before there was time. And his plan is to conform you into the image of his Son. See, God has this finished product of you in mind. And God will use everything that you go through in life, all things, to shape you into the image of Christ. God is this master. He's like a master sculptor. He's got this block of granite in front of him and he's chiseling away and he sees who you are to become. He sees it. He's the artist. And he's chiseling away at that block of granite until what is left is the true you shaped in Christ-likeness. And the Holy Spirit, he's like that artist. He knows exactly where to chisel away. He knows what to pray. That's what the Holy Spirit is praying for you. Let me give you an example from the Bible that illustrates that. Jesus, think of Jesus and the disciple Peter. Jesus, there's a story that Jesus knows that Simon Peter, Jesus knows Simon Peter better than he knows himself. He knows the trial that Peter will go through when Jesus is arrested and Peter abandons Jesus. He knows Peter's weakness. And so Jesus actually prays for Peter. Luke 22, verse 31, he says, Simon, Simon, he tells Simon Peter, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. Satan wants to sift you like wheat. Satan wants the trial that you are going to go through to be so intense that you doubt yourself, that you consider yourself chaff, and that you doubt God's love for you. But then Jesus says, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith will not fail. And see, Jesus is chiseling away at this block of granite so that who Peter is meant to be will emerge from it. Jesus prays for Peter that his faith will not fail. So Satan wants to destroy you, just like he wants to destroy Simon Peter. And there's a groan with that, isn't it? Oh, gosh, we live in this world where we have this enemy, the devil, and we groan. Accompanying every physical and emotional trial is a spiritual trial. And when you face sickness, when you face troubles that test you physically and mentally, and emotionally, Satan will want to tell you that God has abandoned you, that God is displeased with you, and that's why you're going through what you're going through, or that God is no good. Satan's going to give you lies, and there's this spiritual test. And that spiritual test can move us to pray, but it can also make praying harder. Because we can be praying for healing, we can be praying for rescuing, but just hear that silence on the other end of the prayer, and we need to remember that the Holy Spirit is praying for us. Verse 26, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. So don't forget that the Holy Spirit is praying for you. In verse 27, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So you see two things about God in that verse. One, he searches and he knows our hearts. Two, he knows the mind of the Holy Spirit. Because the mind of the Holy Spirit and the mind of God, they are in complete agreement and union. So we groan, but the Holy Spirit knows exactly what we need. The Father knows exactly what we need. Because whatever the Holy Spirit is praying, the Holy Spirit is praying God's will for us. And that is what is happening when we're going through these trials. And you can think of it like this. Think of it as a community of love who knows you inside and out, who is infinitely wise, and who is surrounding you in prayer. That's what I want you to think about when you're going through a trial. And listen, in this way, God indeed is our divine parent because he sees who we need to become. He's our heavenly Father. And when our kids were infant age and we're picking out baby food for them, we don't just get the pears for them at the grocery store. We get the green stuff as well, the peas and the green beans and the vegetables, because we know if all they eat are pears, that's all they're gonna want is the sweet stuff. We see who they need to become, and so we mix in the vegetables so that hopefully they'll like vegetables when they grow up. Did that work? I have no idea. Some of my kids like vegetables, some of them don't. But here's the point. The parent sees the end. The parent has in mind the life of the child. The child does not know who he or she needs to grow up to be. The parent does. And so the parent does what is necessary for the child, and the Holy Spirit and God is praying exactly what we need as we go through these trials. But as I said, God invites us into the activity of prayer as well. So we can pray according to God's will. The Holy Spirit's praying according to God's will, and we can pray according to God's will. See, God doesn't just leave us guessing what is his will for us. And this leads us to the other way that I want to talk about, that God does the heavy lifting in prayer for us. God gives us his word. E.M. Bounds is one of the prayer experts that we've been turning to during this sermon series on prayer. He writes, prayer in its usual uniform, as prayer normally happens, and prayer in its deep current, prayer is conscious conforming to God's will based upon the direct promises of God's word and under the illumination and application of the Holy Spirit. So you see God's will, you see God's promises, and you see God's Spirit. So if you want to write down, if you're filling in notes, you might want to fill these in about prayer. Pure prayer, this is what Ian Bounds is saying, pure prayer seeks conformity to God's will and is strengthened by God's promises under the supervision of God's Spirit. So when we read God's word, the Holy Spirit illumines to us God's promises in his words. He shines his light on God's promises. He moves us to pray for God's promises. So E.M. Bound writes, when God's promises and man's praying are united by faith, then nothing is impossible. God gives us prayer so that we can be in relationship with him. And in prayer, grown together with God. Our groans can be more primal, but the Holy Spirit is groaning as well for us. And since the Holy Spirit is praying God's will for us and these promises from God's word, and don't you believe this? We have hope. When the Holy Spirit is praying God's promises for us and he invites us to pray for those promises as well, we have hope. And so prayer is an invitation to both groan and hope deeply. And because of this, it makes the Psalms, let me just give a practical suggestion for you today. It makes the Psalms a great source of prayer for us. So throughout these 40 days so far, and even a little bit beforehand, as I've been reading these different writers about prayer, I've been praying through some of the Psalms. And I want to suggest a couple to you, and you can... you can choose other psalms. There are so many to choose from. But in almost all of the psalms, we'll find groaning and hoping. There's the groan and there's the hope. So one of the psalms that I've been reading is and praying through is Psalm 40. So we opened up, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me, heard my cry, lifted me out of that slimy pit. Well, later on in Psalm 40, this is what I've been praying, verses 11 to 13, and notice the groan and notice the hope. Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. So there's the promise. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. So be pleased, Lord, to save me. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. So notice one thing that this psalm helps us to do. Confess our sins. And that's the groan, right? So who wrote Psalm 40? Well, this psalm is said to have been written by David, by King David. David is known for his heart for God and his sin, namely that sin of having an affair with Bathsheba. But David writes in the psalm, not my sin has overtaken me. My sins have overtaken me. There's so many. They're more than the hairs of my head. This is David writing this in the psalm. And if it's true of David that he has more sins than the hair of his head, if it's true of David, of whom it is said that he is a man after God's heart, what does that suggest about us? That our sins number more than the hairs of our head. So the psalm invites us to confess our sins to God. That's the groan. But then there's that hope as well. What does David pray? Be pleased to save me. Not will you begrudgingly save me, Lord? Just, you know, no, be pleased to save me. Is God pleased to save you? Yes, he is. He will not leave you hanging. So here's another psalm. So you might want to write down Psalm 40. We read verses 11 through 13. Another psalm I've been praying, Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and satisfies your heart with good... and crowns you, I almost forgot this beautiful phrase, and crowns you with love and compassion, and who satisfies your heart with good things so that your strength is renewed like the eagles. There's a groan. I've been in this pit. God has redeemed me from the pit. I have all these sins that God forgives, that needs forgiving. I have diseases that God will heal me of, but there's that groan. And then there's hope. There's great hope in this psalm. The Psalms do not ignore the groans of life, and so we need them. Even Psalm 136, we sang forever at the beginning of the worship service, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever." Well, there's also a groan in that song. You look near the end of that psalm, and it says this. It says that God remembers us in our low estate. His love endures forever, and he frees us from our enemies. His love endures forever. We have enemies. We are in this low and desperate condition. There's the groan, but then there's the hope. But God is good, and his love endures forever. So I encourage you to pray through the Psalms as a source of praying through God's promises. And if you do that, don't race through it. And you're going to have to give yourself permission to not race through them, because it is so easy to rush. Just rush through the scriptures, rush through the psalm. Hey, I got these great promises and I pray for them, Lord. No, give yourself permission to spend an hour with a psalm in front of you and reading it and resting and allow those promises just to fill your inner being. Yet Jesus, in John chapter 15, verse 7, Jesus says this. He says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you," and my words abide in you. What? "My words abide in you." When my words live in you, you may ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And the way for God's word to abide in you and live in you is not to rush through it, but to sit with it. Give yourself permission. It could be the most important thing that you do for yourself this week. Give yourself permission to sit for an hour with a psalm in front of you and allow God's promises to fill you and abide in you. And then pray those promises, as Jesus says, expecting that it will be given to you. Do you know why we should expect God's promises when we pray for them? Because Jesus himself prayed a psalm on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me?" Except when he prayed that psalm, there was no answer. Jesus on the cross took the rejection of God that we deserve, that our sins deserve, so that God would always hear us when we pray, when we pray the Psalms, and when we ask for his promises. Jesus took the silence of God so that God would never be silent to us, so that we can know that God's favor is always with us, so that we can know that God's promises, accessed through our prayers, will be given to us, so that there's always hope in our messes. So I'd like for you to bring before God a mess in your life. And I want us to anticipate and pray for God's promises. And God, who commands all of creation, will be faithful to us. Let us pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you that you see the end product when you see our lives. You know what you are shaping us to be. You know the exact prayers to pray for us. You know the promises of yours that we need at this very moment. And you see the mess that we are bringing to you in prayer even now. You know the mess. You open up the garage door. You see what's in there. And it doesn't alarm you, it doesn't shock you, it doesn't anger you, it doesn't upset you. You see us as your children, and you want us to call out to you with a groan and with a prayer, asking for your promises. Lord, will you give to us your goodness? Will you give to us your favor? Will you give to us your presence? Will you give to us your healing? Will you give to us your peace? Will you give to us steady perseverance as we go through the trials that we face? Will you give to us wisdom? Will you give to us hope? Will you give to us power? Will you give to us love? we ask for all of these promises with eager expectation because you are good. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.